Before we start, I'd like to start with a word of prayer, okay? Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this Sabbath. I thank you for the privilege of sharing about you. And I just ask, Lord, that as I share, that your Holy Spirit would be here, your angels would surround us, and Lord, this worship would be acceptable in thy sight, that Jesus would be glorified and honored. I thank you so much for hearing and answering. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Joyce Che, and I am an ophthalmologist in the area. There are some people here that I've done your cataract surgeries, probably, and I work in the Portland as well as Vancouver area. In 2020, we started an online group called Med Missionary, and in 2021, we started an online course. And that online course is also called Med Missionary. It is based upon a program that my friend Mercy Ballard has in California that's called Years Restored. We did some online videos teaching people about how to cook this way. We also have a cookbook called the Autoimmune Plant-Based Cookbook, where we teach people how to eat plant-based in a way to heal the leaky gut and to recover from a lot of chronic illnesses. The reason that we did it was because most people who are in the autoimmune community are told that we have to eat according to our evolution, according to a paleo type of philosophy. And so we thought that this was a place for God's three angels' message to be. Amen? Amen? So we teach people about the laws of health and the nine laws of health. You're familiar with the eight laws of health? Yes? What do you think the ninth law is here that we have added?
Environment.
And the reason that we think that this is so important is because there's so many things happening in the environment that are contributing to disease. Did you know that until the 1800s, when the Industrial Revolution began, people didn't really know about allergies and hay fever? Something that came about because of all the pollution in the environment. And, you know, you should be able to tolerate grass and trees and different foods. You know, this is not according to how God created us, but because how sin has come into the world, and also because there are very evil intentions by Satan and then by his followers on how to poison the environment. And so this is another law of health that we think is very important. We teach how to live according to principles that you find in the Bible, and that are expanded upon in the spirit of prophecy. I went to a church just last week, and in the church, the women's ministry, they're reading through counsels on diet and foods, and the women are having a revival. I heard someone say, you know, we're starting to read this book, Counsels on Diet and Food, and I found out I'm doing so many things wrong. How do you think she felt when she found out she was doing so many things wrong? She felt grateful. She felt grateful because now she knew what to do that was right. Amen? And so it is a blessing to learn God's commandments, God's principles. Some of the things that we teach, at each meal we eat to heal. Did you know that at each meal that we should eat to heal? So when you go to your favorite restaurant and you look at the plate of food in front of you, you're going to say, at this meal, I will eat to heal. Can you repeat that after me? At each meal, we eat to heal. One more time. At each meal, we eat to heal. When you go to potluck, that's what you're going to say. Amen? At each meal, I will eat to heal. We eat plant-based, organic, unprocessed, and local to the best of our ability. And we're eating plant-based because we believe that This was the original diet, yes, but also the spirit of prophecy tells us at the end of time, before Jesus comes again, that we will have to get rid of these animal products because animal products will be too unsafe to consume. Do you believe that Jesus is coming soon? Are you waiting for the general conference to send you a memo? So, brothers and sisters, you know what they pump into these animals. They're pumped. So, you know, all the chickens that they keep cooped up in these warehouses. Those chickens go crazy. And for them not to go crazy and kill each other, they give them antidepressants and tranquilizers. They give them antibiotics so that they don't get infected. They give them arsenic so that the meat will stay pink. Do you think all those things just get transformed when that meat gets on your plate? No. Brothers and sisters, we eat to the glory of God. There are reasons for why God has given us instruction, and it is all for our benefit. Amen? So this is why even the plant-based foods, do you think that Satan has just said, I'm going to leave all of these wonderful plant-based foods for all the wonderful Seventh-day Adventist people to enjoy? No. So, you know, every year 2,000 new chemicals come into the environment. They do not test them for human safety. And so it is incumbent upon God's people to be educated about what is happening. It is incumbent upon us to know what is happening so that we can do our best to protect ourselves and our loved ones and be a light in the community. Amen? When the world says, why are so many of us getting sick? We can say, we know there are things that Satan is doing, but guess what? God has promised us. When you go through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will prepare a table for you. Amen? We must be faithful, but we have to go forward trusting in Jesus. Amen? So we avoid these chemicals. We avoid inflammatory foods. We avoid genetically modified foods. We avoid sources of glyphosate, which is the active ingredient of Roundup, and gluten. We teach people how to soak and sprout their grains, nuts, seeds, and legumes to decrease inflammatory mediators and to increase nutrient availability. When you soak and sprout these things, you can increase levels of iron, copper, and zinc 30% to 50%. You avoid foods that you're sensitive to. You know, I don't know if any of you who have been paying attention to your bodies when you eat, if you check your pulse, you'll find that there's certain foods that causes your pulse to rise significantly. Some of you who have arrhythmias and this type of thing, it's something that you want to pay attention to. And we want to do everything that we can to promote healing. Get out into the sunshine, sleep on time, you know, rest, exercise, all of these things are going to promote health. And if we are not faithful in any of these things, we are not going to be able to stay healthy. Amen? Now, the other thing that we have to teach people is what these foods look like, because many of us say, amen, amen, amen. And then when I say, well, how about some of these foods? And then all of a sudden people are like, oh, no. Those are plant-based. And you know, if I'm good all week, maybe I can just have some of these every once in a while. Amen? Some of us, they say, oh, Dr. Joyce, your diet sounds very good. How long do I have to be on that diet? And then I can go back to the foods that made me sick. You see? No. So the reason that we avoid these foods is because they're high-risk genetically modified. Corn is over 90% genetically modified. Soy, same thing. And when you eat foods that are highly processed, have lots of sugar, and they've gone through a lot of research, The main reason that they go through this research is that they're trying to figure out how they can add enough chemicals of the right kind that will cause your taste buds to love them so much that you'll come back and buy them again and again and again. Many of you are addicted to foods that are making you sick. Many of you are addicted to habits that are making you sick. And even foods that look healthy, many of them have high levels of glyphosate in them. If you're buying like a lot of oats, like from Cheerios and this type of thing, I don't know if they're making sure to make sure that the fields haven't been sprayed with glyphosate before they harvest them. Many of these breakfast foods have high levels of glyphosate. And so a lot of the foods that we consider to be healthy, many people are surprised to find out they have things in them that are causing us to develop disease. And so these are some of the things that we talk with people about. But in order for us to then make the transformation in our diets and in ourselves, what needs to happen? We need to be convicted. And we need to allow God to change our taste buds and give us the desire to do something different. Amen? That means we need to get rid of addiction many times. So that's essentially what I'm going to talk with you about today. And that is one of the reasons why Spirit of Prophecy says that I was again shown that the health reform is one branch of the great work, which is to do what? Fit a people for the coming of the Lord. This is very sobering, brothers and sisters, that it is possible that you may know the Bible better than anybody else. You may have memorized large portions of the Bible. You don't even need your Bible. But if we have not applied the things that we have learned to our lives and learned how to live a life of victory, we may still not see Jesus. And this is the most important thing. And this is why today I want to share with you about the power of the gospel. About the power of the gospel. You know, this verse, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It was just a number of years ago that I was at a church where the pastor read this verse, and the verse hit my heart like a pound of bricks. You know, I'd never been struck by the meaning here, because most of us, when we think of becoming a child of God, we think of it in terms of a very powerless way of thinking. I'm a child of God. Yay, the butterflies are flying, birds are singing in the air, and I'm so happy. Amen? But when it comes to like the real hard things in life, you forget that there's supposed to be power in this way of living. And I, for one, had that experience years ago when I realized that you know, this happened to me in my 20s, maybe early 30s, where I grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist. I loved Jesus. I wanted to live my life for Jesus. And then, I don't know what happened. When I went to medical school, I had determined I'm not going to allow anything to come between me and Jesus. But there's something about living very close to Hollywood. And there's something about being surrounded by prosperity. And something about you seeing people who are Seventh-day Adventists, who are caught up with movies, who are caught up with fashion, who are caught up with nightclubs, who are caught up with looking just like the world. And there was something about that that drew me. And I wanted some of that while I wanted Jesus. And I found that as time grew, that my life became very powerless. Everything started looking gray. Nothing looked black and white anymore. And I found that as time grew by, the choices that I made were more and more complicated somehow. And one day I realized I no longer recognized myself. I went to a camp meeting, and at that camp meeting, I saw people who had peace, who had joy, who were walking around, you know, and they would pray together, and they were talking faith. And I realized, this is what I had missed all these years. That I had been trying to get my career going, and, you know, I thought this thing in the world was attractive and this thing in the world was attractive. And I realized I missed being in the presence of Jesus and living my life entirely for Him. And it was at that moment that I decided I have to be where the Holy Spirit is. There is no other safer thing to do. It's too unsafe to make a decision that's anything other than holy for Christ. Amen? And it took me many years, though. It took me quite a journey to do that. And I think that that's one of the reasons why God allowed me to go on this journey of health. And it was at a conference that I went to that a pastor shared with us at this health conference about this concept of being created in the image of God. In the beginning, God created us in His image. Do you know that the biggest problem with sin, is not that you're not going to be in heaven necessarily. Biggest problem with sin is that that image of God gets marred and is no longer recognizable. You, as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, when you say, "I am a follower of Christ," you are telling the world, this is what Jesus looks like. And you can follow me as I follow Jesus. This is why it's so important for all of us to be developing these walks of faith that are pure and true. Let's see a little bit about what that image of God looked like. It says that as man came forth from the hand of his creator, he was of lofty stature and perfect symmetry. You know that Adam and Eve are a lot taller than we are. 6,000 years ago, when man and woman were created, they were created beautifully tall and symmetric. And they were not only symmetric in the way that they looked, they were symmetric in the way they thought. There is supposed to be a symmetry in the way that we think. And I'm going to share with you what that symmetry looks like. So here is a little bit of a metaphor. You can look at this schematic here, and you can see this is kind of illustrating how our minds work and how we think. Who is in charge? If there's a rider on the elephant, and then there's this huge elephant, and then there's this path in the road, who is in charge? Now, who do you want to be in charge? If you are the driver on the elephant, you want it to be you, right? But this elephant is big and has a mind of his own. And then maybe you get on a path with all kinds of boulders and trees and everything on it. Whose will is going to get done? The elephant's will is going to get done. Now, if we think of this in terms of our brains and our lives, we can think of it in terms of our frontal lobes. Frontal lobes are a small part of our brain, but this is the executive part of the mind. If you do not have a frontal lobe, you will be able to function in life. You will just be someone who makes poor decisions, does not have good judgment or insight. You're not able to see the future. You're not able to plan for the future. You're making decisions impulsively. You see the problem. Most people are making decisions based upon the elephant versus the rider on the elephant. You see what I'm saying? Most of us, when it comes to how we decide to eat, most of us, when it comes to how we decide to dress, where we're going to live, career we're going to have, we're making decisions based upon how we feel. We're making decisions based upon what the people around us say is important. We have not gotten used to thinking in terms of what does God's word say and am I going to move forward? I'll share with you just an example from my own life. When I moved here, I moved here because I was in California. And in California in 2010, 9, 8, I was working as a physician. Physicians don't necessarily make a lot of money compared to how much money you have to spend. And so I knew that if I stayed in California, I would not be able to do certain things. One of the things had come to my attention a few years prior. I was helping at a lifestyle program. It was called CHIP, the Coronary Health Improvement Program. And at that meeting, a man with suspenders, an older gentleman, maybe he was about 60 or 70 years old at that time, he was smiling at me across the room. Then he came up to me and he said, "So, do you have your country property yet?" And I did not know anything about country property or country living. I said, "No." And he said, "Well, I have some books for you." So he went out to his car and he got country living and he got another book about country living that someone else had written and he gave them to me to read as a gift. And when I went home, I read those books. And when I read those books, I saw country living is not for weirdos. That's what I had thought. It said that if you want to raise your children to know Jesus, you'll have 10 times harder time for them to be in the kingdom if you live in the city versus living in the country. Country living is about us being able to hear God's voice and to be able to follow Him. If we had gone to the country in 1888 when we were supposed to, we would know so much about food and how to grow it. We would be a light in the community, amen? And so when I started reading those books, I thought, I'm supposed to be in the country. Now, you think everybody that I shared this message with believed the same way as I did? No. I'd go to different countries even, and I'd find out like, are you living in the country? Are you living in the country? Are you living in the country? And guess what? Most people said no. Didn't matter what country they were from. And I found out there were, you know, very few people who were interested in this idea. So I moved to Washington because I thought in Washington I might be able to afford country property more than in California. And when I came here, property prices in 2011 were very, very, very low. Do you remember that? 2011, it was like 5 acres with a house. You can buy a decent place for like $300,000. Yeah. But it didn't, well, compared to now, that place would probably be like triple the amount now. Back then, for me, it didn't matter because I didn't have money. And so I started doing health ministry here at Stone Tower. And I was like, "Lord, please remember me." And I just worked. And then 2014, I had some money. Prices had gone up. The Lord allowed me to find a small place then. And I used it to learn how to garden. I did some cooking classes there. That's how I started speaking at churches, because people came to the cooking classes and they were like, "Oh, you should come to my church." That's how I started doing that. And then it wasn't the right place, so I sold it. And I started looking again for country property. 2019, I had suffered a spinal cord injury. I could hardly shovel anything if I wanted to garden. I could hardly do the dishes at times. And I was in a crisis. Every year, because of my health, something would happen that would cause me to be in a crisis. And, you know, I found a country property, though. The Lord allowed me to find a piece of property that wasn't on the market. And my real estate agent found it for me, and it seemed like the right place. And I was like, oh, this seems like the right place. I think I should move forward on it. But my health was so bad. I had people who were, you know, interested in country living, but they saw my health as poor as it was, and they said, Joyce, maybe you should just buy a condo. And I was conflicted about what to do. But I thought, you know what, Lord? I am going to be 50 soon. Back then, I was still in my 40s. And I thought, if I don't do this now, I will never do it, probably. And I thought, if I do this and I fail, at least I tried. I won't go through the rest of my life thinking, I was going to do that. I was going to be one of those people that had faith. But, you know, I said, you know, Lord, if I'm successful at this, I will give you all the glory. And I decided to move forward with it. And God has allowed me to live on country property. He allowed me to find a place with over 30 acres. And it has, you know, he allowed me to find it right before COVID, so that when COVID happened, I couldn't even tell that things were so wrong with the world, because the Lord had allowed me to find this place. And he has allowed me to live there. But you know, the thought that kept going into my head when I was tempted to do otherwise, I just thought, Lord, there's always going to be a reason for why God's people should not obey. You know, when I teach people about health, there's always a reason for people not to want to move forward with the health. They say, you know, everything you're saying sounds good, but it's too expensive. Or they say, you don't know my family. My family's not supportive. I would have to cook two meals. I'd have to cook my meal and the meal for the rest of my family. There's always a reason for why, when you hear something and the Lord brings conviction into your heart. Have you ever come to these places in your life where the Lord brings conviction into your life, but there's a good reason why you shouldn't do it? I would like to encourage you, brothers and sisters, move forward. Have faith, not to do what you think is possible. Have faith to do what you think will glorify Jesus. You will have the greatest amount of success. Amen? So, who should be in charge? The rider. Not the elephant, the emotions. Not the path, which are the circumstances that you come to in your life. You, by God's grace, should be in charge. The frontal lobe should be in charge. This is the way that we were designed to be. Amen? But what ends up happening for many of us is that we end up living these powerless lives where we get so used to not doing the right thing. We get so used to thinking that is okay. How many of you have heard people who say, I'm only human? How many of you say, well, what I'm doing is better than what my brother's doing? Where we compare ourselves amongst ourselves. Doesn't it tell us in the Bible that we should not compare ourselves amongst ourselves? How many of you have heard people say, well, I tried this kind of diet that God calls us to and it wasn't that helpful, and so I went back to my worldly ways of eating? You see, we as Seventh-day Adventists do not do the right thing because we are trying to gain some benefit from it, brothers and sisters, amen? We do the right thing simply because it is the right thing. Because we love Jesus. That's what causes us to live in freedom. When we do not live in freedom, we live in a cycle of addiction because we are enslaved to sin. And so this becomes our story, that what we want to do, we do not do. But what we don't want to do, we keep on doing it over and over and over again. And there are many of you here who are stuck in cycles of addiction. Whether it is to gambling, whether it is to porn, whether it is to anger and pride, or to overeating. I struggled with overeating much of my life. I praise the Lord, God has given me victory for this. The Lord wants us to gain back our nobility, brothers and sisters. And I want to share with you, what does it mean to have that nobility? It says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Did you know that? Like, when we think of people who are powerful, we think of like Napoleon, we think of Alexander the Great, right? We think of people in power. According to the Bible, the mighty men of the world were who? The descendants of Cain. You know, we don't want to be part of those people. Amen? We want to be like Jesus. And in the Bible, it says that God's gentleness is what makes us great. When we respond to the gentleness of Jesus, it makes our characters like him so that we are humble and gentle. How many of you are going through difficult circumstances in your life? Maybe people are criticizing you, and maybe people are telling other people things about you that aren't true. You know, maybe you have an in-law that is not kind to you, or a family. It's the hardest thing when a family member is not on your side. Amen. What I would view this as, I remember when I came to work at a church and the secretary was really hard to deal with. She was like, Joyce, for us to work together, you're going to have to make an appointment with me. I'm going to show you everything that I got to do for you. I said, well, is it possible we could do this over the phone? She said, no. So the day of our appointment came, I called her. I said, okay, I'm on my way there. I left her a message. She left me a message back. She said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm doing something with my sister. I won't be able to meet with you. It's okay. We can do it all over the phone. And I found out that in the church, it can be pretty much the same as in the world. Amen? We have to deal with difficult people. Amen? How are we going to do this? Guess how I find that it's most helpful to view this. I think it's most helpful if you view all these difficult situations as life coaches. Why? Because you and I are going into a time where we're going to be betrayed by people we love. You and I are going to go into a time where the world is going to think that we are the scourge of the whole world. Amen? And if you cannot deal with your family members now, if you can't deal with your church members now, in a loving way, and do everything that you can for the glory of Jesus. Bible says, if you can't even deal with the footmen, how are you going to run with the horses? Brothers and sisters, it's all good practice for the time of trouble. So if you're going through difficult times, just say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me this time of trouble before the time of trouble. Get me ready. Amen? So I want to share with you, we lost that image of God. God wants to give us that image back. Amen? This is a part of regaining that nobility of character that we had. That's what the gospel is about. Amen? The gospel is about the restoration of the image of God. How many of you want to be restored? Amen? Do you believe it's possible? I hope so, brothers and sisters. I hope it is. Because you know what is the biggest obstacle for the world not wanting to become Christians? It's because they don't see enough Christians. They don't see enough of us who believe, who are willing to put everything on the line for Jesus. Now, when it comes to the restoration of God's image, it also means that we are now going to have power in our lives. Power to do what? Power to overcome. To overcome, it means to succeed in dealing with difficulty, to conquer, defeat, overthrow, reduce, subdue, and vanquish. Do we do this in our own power? No, we do this with Jesus. Amen. Are you going to have to do this in heaven?
No.
You are going to be, but this is what's necessary for you to become a citizen of heaven, is necessary. So I just want to share this quote that really educated me. It says, to restore in man the image of his maker, to bring him back to the perfection in which he was created. Let's read all of this together. To promote the development of body, mind, and soul, that the divine purpose in his creation might be realized. Let's read this really loud. This was to be the work of redemption, the object of education, the great object of life. How many of you are reading this for the first time? I'm so glad. Okay, so now you all know, what is your great object in life? To be restored into the image of God and to share that restoration with the world around you. If you go to school and you graduate and you get this great paying job and you don't know how to do this, you've just wasted your money. It will be of no help. Amen? Now, before Jesus came, this world was in utter darkness. Before Jesus came that first time, what happens when God's people, who are supposed to be the light of the world, don't live according to the light that they know? Hypocrisy, but it causes the world to be in darkness. Brothers and sisters, this is a huge responsibility that you and I have as Christians. Amen? If you call yourself a Christian, if I call myself a Christian, and I do not live according to the light of God, I subject this earth to darkness. So, according to Matthew 4, verse 16, when Jesus came into this earth, it said, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And how it happened was that when Jesus came to this earth, he said, my mission is to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. This is the relationship of the ministry of healing to the gospel. You see? If you do not understand the health message, can you understand the gospel? No. And if you do not understand the gospel, can you understand the health message? There are a lot of people who think that the health message is just about vegan cooking. They say, oh, you're doing the health message. Can you share with me a natural remedy for arthritis? You see, the health message has gotten so weakened because the gospel has gotten so weakened. There are very few people who want to live that life that God calls us to. It is one of the greatest problems with the plan of salvation. Can you tell me what you think is the greatest problem with the plan of salvation?
Unbelief.
Unbelief, yes. How does unbelief manifest? Well, it manifests like this, in my opinion. Unbelief. When you have this skepticism and this doubt, it causes you not to obey. It causes you not to obey. And pretty soon, you get used to living a life of disobedience and yet thinking that you believe in God. Right? And pretty soon, you are able to think what you're doing is okay. Is that honest? Actually, it's very dishonest. But you don't know it. Because you have now accepted light for darkness and darkness for light. Do you see how that works? We get so used to living in dissonance that we can think we're okay. And we call that the Laodicean experience. The Laodicean experience is where you are miserable, poor, blind, and naked. but you don't know it. And so God can't help you. And that describes many of us in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, where we're like, but I go to church every Sabbath, and I pay my tithe, and beyond that, I'm vegan. I must be ready for Jesus to come. Amen? And we don't realize that we are miserable, poor, blind, and naked. All of us need Jesus. All of us need Jesus. And without this understanding, we are all stuck. We're all enslaved to sin. We are all... How many of you have seen things on TV where you know that's sin and it's made you laugh? Right? We laugh at the things that cause God to cry. See, this is just slavery. And any time we act outside of the Ten Commandments, did you know that that's slavery? Did you know that if you don't keep the fourth commandment and keep Sabbath holy, did you know that that's slavery? I have a quote. I'm going to share this with you. It's not in the talk here, but I just want to share. I just heard it this morning. And she was talking about the Sabbath, and she said that talking upon anything or everything which may come into the mind is speaking our own words. She's talking about how people, they just on Sabbath, they talk about anything they want to talk about. Because she's talking about how to keep the Sabbath. She said, every deviation from right brings us into bondage and condemnation. Isn't that amazing? I did not know this. I was reading through the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 3, it says this. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know the whole reason why God gave us the Ten Commandments? He's trying to teach people how to live as a free person and not as a slave. This is the joy of being a commandment keeper. Amen? The joy. So when I tell you about how we're supposed to eat and this kind of thing, some people get overwhelmed. They're like, oh, too many rules. Too many things that are going wrong that Satan is doing in the world. What am I supposed to eat? It's getting harder and harder. And brothers and sisters, it is getting harder and harder. But I just want to share with you first, if we think of it in the perspective of how do I live as a free person? How is Jesus going to be glorified in my life? It's not too hard. Amen? I want to share with you the story of this prison, the Victor Valley, I think it was the Victor Valley Correctional Institute that was built by a Seventh-day Adventist by the name of Terry Moreland in California. He won the contract to build a prison. I think it was in the earlier 2007, something like that, built a prison. And in that prison, they had a study where they allowed people to either eat standard prison food or to eat a vegetarian plant-based diet. And they found that the side of the prison where they ate a plant-based diet, guess what happened to the violence rate? It went down. Significantly. There's hardly any violence on the side of prison where they were eating plant-based. How many of you see a lot of violence in the schools? Violence all over the neighborhoods now, right? Have you ever thought that if people had been obedient to God's word, there'd be significantly less violence? It's because people are eating according to their own desires and this kind of thing. Have you ever thought that if you give your family the right kind of food, you'll give them an advantage on getting to heaven and seeing Jesus? Amen? Just by the food you eat, it can change the way that you think. Henry Kissinger knew this. He said, control oil and you control nations. Control food and you control people. And it says here, this is a quote by Spirit of Prophecy. It says, Satan gathered the fallen angels together to devise some way of doing the most possible evil to the human family. One proposition after another was made until finally Satan himself thought of a plan. He would take the fruit of the vine, also wheat, and other things given by God as food, and would convert them into poisons, which would ruin man's physical, mental, and moral powers, and so overcome the senses that Satan should have full control. Now, some people think this is just in terms of liquor, but are there other things that Satan is using food to convert into poisons that are going to cause you to think a different way? You know, when you eat colored foods, artificial colorings and this kind of thing, it will significantly affect your behavior and your health. Did you know that? Just by a few chemicals, you can change the way someone thinks. And that will impact their decisions for heaven. By taking too much food, we not only improvidently waste the blessings of God, we defile the temple of God. It is weakened and crippled, and nature cannot do its work wisely and well. And what this overeating causes? She asked, what does this have to do with board meetings? Very much. The effects of wrong eating are brought into council and board meetings. The brain is affected by the condition of the stomach. A disordered stomach is productive of a disordered, uncertain state of mind. This is an asymmetrical shaped mind, isn't it? A diseased stomach produces a diseased condition of the brain and often makes one obstinate in maintaining erroneous opinions. The supposed wisdom of such a one is foolishness with God. Brothers and sisters, very, very serious. The way that we choose to eat, even, can impact the spiritual decisions that we make for ourselves as well as for the church. And we see this in Numbers chapter 11, verses 5, verse 6. There was a group of people that had just come out of slavery. And God had promised, I'm going to take you to the promised land. And they were so addicted to their food. They said, this manna, this angel's food, that's what the Bible said, this angel's food. How many of you would eat angel's food? How many of you would be happy if you could eat angel's food every day? Now, that's what we think. That's what we think. But there are some of us who, when you hear about healthy food, you think, but that's not tasty. I'm from the Korean culture, and we're like, but that's not Korean food. And some of you might be from other countries where you're like, that's not like the food in my country. Some of you are like, that's not like the pizza that I like and the pasta that I like. And the people said, there's nothing now besides this angel's food to eat. It's very boring for us to eat this. And guess what they said? They said, we don't want to go to heaven anymore. Let's turn around and go back to Egypt because McDonald's was there. The people got lost. And I'd like to share with you, brothers and sisters, many of us are at risk of being lost. Because we're so addicted. We're so addicted here, and it's affecting everything else. This is a testimony by this brother, and I don't know if I can share it, but he is somebody who, he was the grandson of a chief in Angola, and when he was born, the chief who had connections with the spirit world, the chief was instructed how his grandson should be raised. His grandson was going to be raised, taught by the highest evil spirits. And the interviewer, as he's interviewing this man, he asked him, so what did you learn from the people that taught you? And the man said, one of the first things we had to learn is how to eat. We have to eat on time, 5 hours between our meals. We have to eat not when we want to, but we have to eat on time. He said, we have to eat from the garden. We had to go to a farm. My home was in a farm. I had to grow my own food. We had to eat according to the things that we grew. So this man said, well, how about all the stuff from the bags and the processed food and this kind of thing? And the man was like, oh, no, 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 no. He said, that food, what? See, we're trying to be like the gods. We're trying to be like God. That's what they're training us to be like. We want to be the stars in the world. That food is for the slaves. Brothers and sisters, when you think you are eating according to what you want to eat, you have no idea you've been manipulated into staying a slave. You have been manipulated into getting into a place where your brain would rather have food than the bread of life. Your brain would rather have the conveniences of this world than to be trained to think upon the beauties of the world that is coming. How many of you would rather today say, Jesus, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to give my life totally to you. How many of you want to do that? Amen. I want to share with you what that world looks like. It says, the Lord has given me a view of other worlds. Wings were given me, and an angel attended me from the city to a place that was bright and glorious. The grass of the place was a living green, and the birds there warbled a sweet song. The inhabitants of the place were of all sizes. They were noble, majestic, and lovely. They bore the express image of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You can have different sizes and all kinds of shapes and colors, but you can all express the image of Jesus. And their countenances beamed with holy joy, expressive of what?
Freedom.
Freedom and happiness. And she said, you know, all these people here on this planet, they're so much prettier than we are on earth. She said, why are you so much more lovely than those on the earth? And they said, what? We have lived in strict obedience to the commandments of God and have not fallen by disobedience. Brothers and sisters, when you live according to the laws by which you were created, you will live in much more loveliness. You won't have the bags under your eyes so much. Your gut will be functioning. You won't be running to the bathroom all the time and these types of things. Amen? You won't have all these rashes that come up because you're so sensitive to all these things. When we live according to how we were created, we live in freedom. Most importantly, we think in freedom. We think like the citizen of heaven that we are going to be. Amen? Amen? Today, as I close, I want to just ask that you and I, that we will purpose in our hearts to give our will to Jesus. As the will of man cooperates with the will of God, it becomes omnipotent. Whatever is to be done at his command may be accomplished in his strength because all his biddings are enablings. May we live partaking of the divine nature of Christ today by living according to the promises of God. This is my prayer for you, my prayer for myself. I'd like to just quickly pray as we close. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, today I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of speaking here at Stone Tower. And I know, Lord, that even here in this beautiful church, there are many of us who have been attacked by Satan, who have allowed the things of this world to get in the way of our view of Jesus. And so, Lord, many of us are stuck in cycles of addictions. Many of us may not even know it. Many of us may be happy where we are. Today, Lord, if there is any who are hearing this, Lord, I just ask that you would be working upon each heart. For my brothers and sisters who are struggling with the temptation for addictions to gambling, to pornography, to pride, to anger. If there's anybody who has not forgiven, if there's anybody who struggled with overeating, If there's anybody who's struggled with something that they know in their heart you have convicted them, this is not for you to do. Lord, I ask that we would confess it today. That we would take this time to confess our sin to Jesus right now. And Lord, that we would lay this at the foot of the cross. Lord, give us victory today. May we leave this church as a different person. May we be a new person in Christ. May we purpose to abide in you, to hold on to the hand of Jesus, to give our wills to you, and may you give it back to us, Lord, omnipotent. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering. And all of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.